Family Theater presents MacDonald Carey. From Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater, presents Song for a Long Road. And now, here is your star and host, MacDonald Carey.
Thank you, Tony Lafrano. Family Theater's only purpose is to bring to everyone's attention a practice that must become an important part of our lives if we're to win peace for ourselves, peace for our families, and peace for the world. Family Theater urges you to pray. Pray together as a family.
And now to our transcribed drama, Song for a Long Road, starring MacDonald Carey as Joyce Kilmer. This is the way the story should begin.
Aline, are you listening?
Yes, I'm listening.
Aline, will you marry me?
I most certainly will not.
Oh, but a poet is made of stern stuff. And so we shall try once more. This is the way the story should begin. Aline, look at me.
I'm looking.
Will you consent to be my wife?
Your wife? Certainly not.
But how does the poet say it? If at first you don't succeed, try again. Aline, listen, please.
I'm listening.
Now look at me.
I'm looking.
Would it be asking you too much to become Mrs. Joyce Kilmer?
Well.
This is the way the story should begin. And this is the way it did begin, one beautiful day in June, 1908. For he said himself, Joyce Kilmer did, he said, Canoline, I can't understand the interpretation which makes marriage the end instead of the beginning of a splendid adventure. If there should ever be the perfect novel of love, it would begin rather than end. And they were happily married. And should I add, and they lived happily ever after? Well, now, that would depend upon one's interpretation.
Naturally. That would depend upon one's interpretation of happiness. For example...
Aline, you happy?
I was never happier, Joyce. Quiet home here in New Jersey. A baby.
Yes, I know, but... Well, hang it, I was never meant to spend the rest of my life teaching Latin to a bunch of high school students.
Oh, go on. If you had your way, you'd sell poetry the rest of your life.
For $1 a pound. Perhaps $2 a pound.
Stop squeezing my hand.
Aline, I'll leave it up to you.
You leave what up to me?
I'll let you decide whether your husband is to stagnate henceforth and forever in the swamps of irregular Latin verbs, or whether he's to take root on the immortal hill of poesy.
Oh, dear, it's time for the baby's bath.
Your answer, madame.
The milk is in the icebox.
Speak, oh vision, speak.
Stop squeezing my hand.
Nothing so exquisite as that slight hand could Raphael or Leonardo trace.
Joyce, the baby will start to
An
cry.
Answer, princess. Shall we or shall we not go to New York?
Well, I
knew you'd say yes.
Is that you, Joyce?
Yeah.
Oh, home so soon? How is my poet laureate of America?
Oh.
Tired. Come here and sit down. Down here.
Oh.
There now.
Lean. You happy?
Why do you keep asking me that question, Joyce?
It's the kind of question a man has a right to ask his wife occasionally. Look.
I'm looking.
You know, selling books in a store for $8 a week isn't exactly a thrilling occupation, is it?
Well, Joyce, I've told you it's going to take time getting started.
Lena, I'm not even a good book salesman. Too much arithmetic connected with a confounded thing.
What has arithmetic to do with selling books? And stop squeezing my hand.
Arithmetic, my little princess. Arithmetic has a lot to do with selling books, as Charles Scribner's sons will soon discover.
What happened now?
Oh, sold a rare book today. Sold it for $1.50.
Well,
made a slight mistake. The manager told me the book wasn't worth $1.50.
No?
No. It was worth $150.
Oh.
And so an aspiring young poet, his little princess and their babies, for a second child, Rose, had been born to them, managed to live in New York on the magnificent sum of $8 a week. And did they live happily ever after? Well, that depends upon one's interpretation of happiness.
These are my sentiments, Aline.
Joyce, you've changed so much in 3 years.
Yes, I suppose. A man can be forgiven the sin of getting tired at times. And I'm tired, Aline.
Oh, I know.
There are thousands, tens of thousands like us who are tired. I've seen them in subways, streetcars. I've seen them outside offices waiting for interviews. Nervous, tired people who stare at the wall over your head when you look at them.
You're in a mood, Joyce.
It's a fact, I tell you. The world's lopsided with selfishness. There are people walking the streets who don't know where they're going to get their next crust of bread.
And do you think your socialist friends can solve the problem?
Well, the socialists might have the right idea.
It's getting late, Joyce. Better get some sleep.
There's too much time sleeping.
Writing for the socialist papers again?
Oh, I know what you're thinking. I'm just a naughty little radical with a pen in my hand.
Well, you might take up typing.
I'm not going to take up typing.
Joyce, aren't you getting a little loud lately?
Not half loud enough for a lopsided world.
Oh, well.
What are you doing?
Saying my prayers.
You're not going to say your prayers.
Joyce, what in the name of heavens?
Heavens. God. There is no God. Do you hear?
Joyce.
There is no God!
All the good things a man holds precious in his life, all the long-cherished hopes and dreams, all the faith that he has ever placed in his God, and himself and his family, all these are candlelight for living. But there are times when the flame of faith wavers, when the flax begins to smoke and smolder. And then it takes only the slightest, the very slightest.
It happened this afternoon, Doctor.
This is your second child, Mrs. Kimmler?
Yes, Doctor.
How old?
9 months.
Well, I'm sorry. There's not very much we can do now. The germ has already struck.
Yes, Doctor.
Infantile paralysis is a strange affliction. We don't know where it will stop or when. The only thing you can do now is wait and hope for the best.
Yes, Doctor.
Where is she? Where's Rose?
In here.
So?
Infantile paralysis.
So? My baby. My baby's going to be paralyzed.
There's nothing we can do, Joyce.
There's nothing we can do. Nothing.
Yes, the time comes when the candle flame of faith wavers, when human flax smokes and smolders. But comes the clean, healing breath of pain. The smoking flax leaps to flame, and man lives by blessed candlelight again.
Joyce.
Yes?
I didn't know how you were going to take it. I was afraid that...
It's all right, Evelyn. Simple and clear now. You can't build a home on rhyming couplets, poetry. You build it out of flesh and blood and spirit and faith in God. You build it out of pain and love. And tonight I know what love is. It's poignant and accustomed pain. Oh, good God, help my little girl. Heal Rose. But even if my child should never walk again, I know this. I know she taught me how to walk again.
And a little child had led him.
Aline, I've got it. I've got it.
Oh, Joyce, what on earth?
Behold your beloved spouse.
Oh, your whiskers, Joyce.
Aline, look at me.
I'm looking.
Good. You now have the unusual privilege of beholding a New York Times book reviewer. Oh, this is the life. It's quiet here in the Poconos, Aline. Man couldn't want much more in this life, could he? Little house, four children. That's a present. A wife who's beautiful with black ribbons at her throat. A world full of sight and sound. The world is good, except... I watch her lying there in the grass, a little paralyzed angel, my daughter.
16 years, the doctor says, Joyce.
Yes. 16 years before she may walk.
That's a long time.
Yes.
Still?
I was just thinking, Aline, how light a cross can be when the cross you're carrying is someone you love. When love's the burden. I was thinking how tightly the arms of a cross can bind the husband and wife.
More than 16 years, Joyce.
For always. Nothing could ever separate us, Aline.
Nothing?
Nothing. Come here. Look at me.
I'm looking.
You're a very young wife.
Am I?
And lovely. What's troubling you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Oh, Joyce.
My little princess is younger than her babies. Hey, stop crying in my ear. It tickles. What's the matter with you?
I just want to hear you say it again.
Say what?
Say, nothing can ever separate us.
All right. Nothing can ever separate us.
War Horizon. Proceeding to the sixth area.
You say you left the 7th Regiment?
Yeah, that's right.
And your name is Kilmer?
Right.
How come you joined the fight in 69th?
I didn't join. I adopted the fighting 69th. I'm Irish.
Irish? With a name like Kilmer?
Half Irish.
Half Irish?
Well, my great-great-great-grandfather was Irish.
proceeding to the sixth area. And this was No Man's Land.
Yes, this is No Man's Land. Little Eddie couldn't believe it was No Man's Land. This afternoon he said to me, "Kilmer, it gets awful quiet around here." But then... just like that it came. In the afternoon. A clumsy, wobbling torpedo shell. Something dangerously casual that catches a man tying his shoe or opening a pack of cigarettes. It caught Eddie. It caught Kennedy and Sage and Finn and Galvin and Sullivan and 21 of them. Buried them alive in a dugout. Major Donovan called the engineers, called everybody. But the soft earth kept slipping in on them. I saw the engineers crying this afternoon, so I wrote it for little Eddie and the rest of them. And the major read it under the trees, and Stokes was trembling when he reached for the bugle.
In a wood they call Le Rouge Bouquet, there's a new-made grave today, built by never a spade nor pick, yet covered with earth 10 meters thick. There lie many fighting men, dead in their youthful prime, never to laugh nor love again, nor taste the summertime. For death came flying through the air and stopped his flight at the dugout stair. Now over the grave, abrupt and clear, 3 volleys ring, and perhaps their brave young spirits hear the bugle sing. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Slumber well where the shell screamed and fell. Let your rifles rest on the muddy floor. You will not need them anymore. Danger's past. Now at last, go to sleep.
Major Donovan.
Well, what is it, Kilmer?
I hope I'm not troubling you, Major.
Not at all.
I heard we're moving up tomorrow.
That's right.
Your battalion's going to lead the way.
You pick up a lot of information, don't you?
I'm in the intelligence section, Major.
Well?
I was wondering if you couldn't arrange for me to go along.
Why, I don't see how I possibly...
But, Major, you do need a battalion adjutant.
All right. All right, you win.
Thanks, Major. You can make out this writing, Helene. I have your picture before me tonight. Can almost hear you speaking again, with a voice coming across the white roads of France, and like the voices of all the women of the world, it keeps saying,
"Say it, Joyce. Say, nothing can ever separate us."
Helene, you won't mind my writing this. I've never quite recovered from the wonderment of being husband to a wife. Aline, you are always before me and with me, in my heart and brain. But it's dangerous to write this. It draws so tight the cords that bind me to you. Well, we're to be together sometime, inevitably. And soon, in terms of eternity. For we are absolutely one, incomplete apart. And in heaven is completeness. How unhappy must lovers be who haven't the gracious gift of faith. And people and things at home. I'd like to be there again. I'd like to see Kenton
and Deborah, and Michael, and Christopher. And sip dry sherry and see a roast of lamb with mint sauce and Blackwood's magazine. I'd like to see a straw hat and a circus. But most of all, I'd like to see you. Goodbye now. I've got a little work to do. And love me exceedingly.
Keep low, Kilmer.
Yes, Major.
They're sitting pretty up there on the ridge. Got us in the clear.
Do you think we could possibly... Oh, better be careful, Major.
I'm going ahead, Kilmer. Watch us all.
Okay, Major. All right. Just remember the manual, Kilmer. Keep flat, and if you've got to move, move fast. That machine gun nest is up there over the ridge of the hill. Picking our boys off pigeons. Huh? What do you say, Kilmer? Do you? Or don't you? Oh, you don't have to move. You don't want to. You have no order to move. But you're going to move, Kilmer. Just crawl like this. Just like this to the top of the hill. All you have to do is to take a look, Kilmer. Spot that nest, that's all. I suppose they're waiting for me. Just as soon as I lift my... head over that ridge, they'll...
Just remember the manual, Kilmer. Remember, every second you lose may mean life. Here I come. There's the ridge. Wonder if... Still barking. That's all right. It's all right. Here we go. Big breath, Kilmer. You're gonna see something right now. Here goes... They found him lying still, and his eyes were looking out over, away over the ridge. They buried him where the scarlet poppies nod by the River Orok. And so Sergeant Joyce Kilmer, patriot and poet, died with...
Wait a minute, mister.
Oh, well, what is it you wish?
You didn't answer the question for the people.
What question?
The question you've been asking all night. Did they live happily ever after?
Excuse me, there's been a slight interruption.
Exactly.
Who are you, sir?
Who am I? I am the interruption. I am the question lingering on the tongues of millions. I'm the voice of the kids who fight the wars. The voice of the guys who screamed across the continents and across the world. I'm the voice of human pain. And they're trying to choke me again with speeches. And promises. They're choking me with new headlines, new suspicions, new hates. Did they live happily ever after? Did they?
Who will answer the question? There is a tree planted on a hill. It is a dead tree which has blossomed with the terrible contradiction of man's planting. For trees were never meant to blossom blood. God, our Father, did they live happily ever after? Can we live happily ever after? Did one soldier die in vain on a hill? With half his songs unsung? Have thousands died, and will other thousands die in vain on the other hills? Or is it possible that in our days we shall at least see love, love of neighbor, strip the spikes of cruelty? cruelty and suffering from the crossbeams of a world in contradiction. Grant that it be so. Be thou the patience in our planning and the humility in our heart. And grant, good Lord, that all men, the men of the north and south and east and west, may rest always in the soft shadow of peace, where trees are not crosses, but living things that look at God all day and lift their leafy arms to pray. A soldier poet would have it so. Then shall all men live happily ever after.
Now, here's your star again, MacDonald Carey.
This is MacDonald Carey again. This Saturday, May 19th, marks the 7th annual observance of Armed Forces Day, the day when you, the public, are invited to visit the military installations of our country to see what's on hand to defend our country in case of war. The highlight of this observance is Power for Peace. In commemorating this day, we should keep in mind that our strength as a nation should not depend upon jet planes or hydrogen bombs or flying missiles, but upon prayer. For prayer is the only weapon that will give us that peace we seek. We as a nation can only be strong when we as a family are united together in prayer. You know, it's been said, and I suppose there's some truth in it, that we Americans have a way of taking our flag and our freedom for granted. But I never hear that complaint without recalling the experience of a friend of mine in New York some years ago. She was watching a parade come down Fifth Avenue when two boys, about 12, pushed up beside her in the crowd. One of them was blind. He kept tugging at his companion's sleeve and inquiring, "Where is it, Billy? Is it coming? Where is it?" And the other assured him, "No, not yet, not yet. It's way down the street." My friend, though, unable to contain her curiosity, leaned over and tapped the blind boy's companion on the shoulder. "What's he waiting for?" she inquired quietly. "Oh," said the boy, "he wants me to tell him when the flag comes by." "But why?" my friend asked. "He can't see it." "No," explained the boy, "but he likes to know it's there." Well, perhaps that sentiment puts into words the proud feeling that most of us Americans have for our flag. We like to know it's there, to know that it's been there ever since 1776. It's a star-spangled reminder of the unity which enabled that first family of 13 colonies to grow under God into the great nation that is America today. It was true then, it's true now, of the nations as well as of the families that make up that nation. The family that prays together stays together.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. From Hollywood, Family Theater has brought you transcribed Song for a Long Road, starring MacDonald Carey. Others in our cast were Gene Bates, Howard Culver, Herb Butterfield, and Frank Gerstle. The script was written by Timothy J. Mulvey and directed by John T. Kelly, with music composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. This series of Family Theater broadcasts is made possible by the thousands of you who feel the need for this type of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the hundreds of stars of stage, screen, and radio who give so unselfishly their time and talent to appear on our Family Theater stage. To them and to you, our humble thanks. This is Tony Lofrano expressing the wish of Family Theater that the blessing of God may be upon you and your home, and inviting you to join us next week when Family Theater will present Citizen's Arrest, starring Virginia Mayo and Michael O'Shea. Richard Denning will be your host. Join us, won't you? Family Theater is broadcast throughout the world and originates in the Hollywood studios of the world's largest network. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.